And so I misspoke a little. Could Frankenstein's monster really teach itself to read and speak was what I meant to say. So what inspired you to put this project together? It's appropriate. We're talking about Mary Shelley's classic on Halloween.
Well, our book series, right, is a pop culture and philosophy book series. And so we try and find ideas that people are excited about and things that they might be interested in. And when we realized that no one had done one about Frankenstein yet, we were like, why? Right? This is such a huge thing.
Sure.
People are talking about it. Frankenstein is a superhero now in some comics. There's more movies coming out with him. And so we said, now's a good time to really kind of delve into this in a way that people might be excited about.
And so you look at some philosophical questions as relates to Frankenstein's monster. Yes.
Right. Well, so I guess the goal kind of here is to maybe slip in a little philosophy when no one's looking, right?
Okay.
And so we deal with some interesting questions. Some problems arise when you start thinking about things like Frankenstein. Questions like, well, what's the relationship between Frankenstein and ourselves? So we tend to think of Victor Frankenstein as an interesting question just because he was this guy who tried to play God and, well, deserves to be kind of punished for that. We're very comfortable with that idea.
Mm.
But when you think about it, on the other hand, well, he's also kind of a stand-in for God, right, who leaves his creation alone to suffer out there in the world. And that relates pretty quickly to us. There's automatically that question we have to ask along the lines of, wait, well, are we left alone similarly? So questions like, is it right to have children as one of our more contentious chapters. So knowing that you're going to have kids, should you plan on having kids, knowing that there's really only one thing you can kind of guarantee your children as far as this life, right, which is suffering and death, right?
Now you're really getting into philosophical questions. Well, and you actually also explore, when it comes to children, why children are more drawn to the monster than adults, yeah?
Yeah, well, there's some interesting... I think what it comes down to for us is that by the time we're adults, especially now kind of in our more commercialized society, we like to take the teeth out of things. So we remove the monstrous from the monster, whereas in a lot of ways for children, this is still new and interesting and exciting.
And monsters are very real to kids.
Right, exactly. And we like to remove the monstrous from ourselves. And so you'll notice that Shelley's version is a terrifying incarnation, really. The monster is much stronger, right? And it's smart. It's really scary smart. And what's tragic about it is it doesn't just want to be loved, but it wants to love. He wants to love. And we've turned him into this kind of just cartoonish character, right? Because that's easy to deal with.
Interesting. What's the reaction been to this book?
Well, so far it's been fun. I think people are surprised, especially when we talk with them about it or when they read through it, they go, oh, huh, I hadn't really thought about it like that. So questions like, should I have children or what counts as a person? So there's immediate application to this because we think, oh, well, in some ways the idea has died off because, well, you can't really stitch together corpses and bring them back to life in that way. So we're not too worried about it. But we forget, like, right now we're creating, say, artificial intelligence. And we call it artificial because it's made by us, kind of in this Victor Frankensteinian way. But the problem is that intelligence, which, by the way, recently kicked our butts on Jeopardy, right?
Right. Kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah. Is not going to think of itself as artificial. It's mm-hmm. just going to think of itself as intelligence.
Yeah, the themes that the book, The Original Frankenstein, laid out, we've seen them repeated in pop culture over and over and over again.
Right, yeah. I mean, especially like I said, I mean, I think there's this Adam story that's just archetypal for us, right? In other words, this story of a guy who does something that he shouldn't do and kind of tries to play God in this sense, but also this question of whether or not God should go around creating stuff that is going to suffer terribly. And what responsibility we have to our creations. And we don't really like to think too much about that. Like, there's a lot of stuff where we're creating right now. We're not just using, say, non-human animals to do what we want. We're making stuff all the time. You know, broca flour is a thing we make. There's mm-hmm. all this, like,
cloning.
Yeah, and Frankenfoods. But things with thoughts and feelings and experiences. And the standard, it's funny, if I talk with my students about it, the standard response is, well, I make it, so I get to do whatever I want to it, which I think is our standard way of looking at the divine as well. Like, well, God made us. If God feels like smiting us, that's fine. And so we, I guess, feel similarly, that whatever we make, whatever we create, we own, and therefore we can do whatever we want to it. And that's easy when it's a cow or some sort of Franken cow, because it probably can't, like, rise up.
Uh-huh.
But when it's smarter, faster, and stronger than you, it may not tolerate that.
That's where the true horror comes from.
Exactly.
Well, it's fascinating to speak with you. The book is out now, perfect for Halloween. It's Frankenstein and Philosophy, author Nicolas Michaud. He is a graduate research assistant at UNF's College of Education and Human Services. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.